this is Daryl Boyce, and you're listening to the Wildcast Podcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice of everything Moncton Wildcats. Jeremy, we made it through the weekend.
We sure did. That intro tune music song always makes me want a pelvic thrust to like the to the drums, like.
Well, that's literally when I made that drum intro, that's what I was thinking. That's for you. That's exactly that's right. What I was.
That's gonna be my new like.
Just throw on the. Yeah. I'll send you the whole song, and you can you can play that. How was your weekend?
Great. Made it through the hurricane. Not much of a hurricane. Tropical storm for us.
Here, so.
You know what? It was fun. Just drank an entire 2-4 beer on Saturday. Watched the rain. Watched Bianca win the U.S. Open Women's Championship. Which was awesome. First Canadian to win a Grand Slam in tennis. I don't know about you, but that's probably, in terms of Canadian sports moments, top three.
Not even top five for me.
Really?
Yeah.
So I put it in the top three. In terms of individual performances, top three, I would go with like Donovan Bailey at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta, and probably Mike Weir winning the Masters.
Okay, yeah, I guess if you go individually, yeah. When I put Canadian sports, you've got 72 Henderson goal. That was pretty big. Blue Jays back-to-back. The Raptors, I tweeted something out because it was actually on Tim and Sid today. So, but yeah, no, I did you – obviously you didn't lose power at all?
Didn't lose power. Lights flickered a couple times. Yeah. That was it. So still got to watch my TV and watch the Pelche and McKenna show on Saturday night as well, and just had a relaxing weekend. Still feeling the effects.
Yeah, no, our power flickered once, but yeah, we had power for everything. Watch that game. Before I get into your thoughts on that game, just want to, you know, give a special shout out to all the first responders and the guys working for the power companies that that didn't get to go home and had to work through some obvious, very difficult conditions, not only here, but, in Halifax, Nova Scotia in general, and most of PEI and Newfoundland. So what did you think of the game?
Which
the,
game?
The McKenna, the Flames Oilers.
kind of a dud.
Yeah.
Welcome
to rookie games.
Yeah.
I thought Pelche played really
he
well.
He did. He had his moments. His best play was in the defensive zone. In his own zone, had a couple chances offensively. I know there was one where he got a solid wrist shot off yeah. after a toe drag. But you know what? It's just like our training camp. The longer you're in the camp, the better you're going to perform.
Yeah.
It's more going to be more entertaining. When are they playing again? Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So we'll check out that one as well. Thankfully, we won't have to listen to the Oilers broadcasters for that one.
I really wanted to. I was hoping that when I clicked on the Flames, I would get the Flames because they would talk about Pelche McKenna more.
Mm-hmm.
Especially once I found out Rodrigo wasn't playing, which I was a little surprised. I thought he would play because Skinner played in the ECHL last year. Dylan Wells played some, so I was really hoping Rodrigo would play. But yeah, Tuesday, and I thought McKenna's had an okay game, but it's tough to watch them when you're watching on a YouTube feed. They kind of get lost for lack of a better way. But we got a jam-packed episode. We got a couple interviews with Jordan Peckham from the Herdcast, Philly Sports Network writer Jamie Barscow later in the show, West Division preview. So let's get at it.
The quick question of the week, Monsieur Adam. This is from Orange_Giraffe. Other than LaRue, who do you feel have the most successful season as a rookie?
I don't want to say a name because last time we talked about rookies, they ended up getting cut the day after the episode came out. But I'll say Rumsey. I like his shot. He's getting better with every game. And he's starting to really get in there and make some plays. So for me, I think I think Rumsey will have a pretty good year just based on his shot.
Personally, I'm going with Daou just because I've been talking about him for about every single episode that we've done so far. So I can't go and change my pick. He will also be brought up when we do our predictions episode, which I believe is in next week.
Because literally the next show, and then we are into regular season action. We are finally there.
The quick question of the week, brought to you by your friends at Deuces Septic Tank Services. Number one or number two, you dump it, we pump it.
Well done. That's a clever catchphrase. I won't lie to you. So we had a bit of a game to recap. The teams finally got back onto the ice on Friday. It was a 5-3 loss in the revenge game between the Mooseheads and the Wildcats that had rosters that looked nothing like the round two playoff matchup. But some of the highlights for me, LaRue and Keegan Hunt getting in a fight behind the net. Honestly, at first, I thought it was Justin Barron. I was like, what? LaRue held his own. I would say it was a draw, but he held his own, gave him a few good shots. And then 52 shots by the Wildcats. Like, Cole McLaren is going to be something in Halifax.
For someone who was a pretty relatively unknown goaltender just a few years ago, he's really stepped it up. He's had a, anytime he got into action last year, it was tough to beat him. Like he is what a backup is supposed to do, right? It's a goalie that, you can turn to every 5, 6, 7, 8 games and expect him to play their best and still get a W. And it's you need a backup that your coaching staff is going to trust to put in there in any situation. He's proven that last year, and he's already been proving it this year. If there was like the NBA where there's like a sixth man award, something like that, especially for goalies, backup goalies, Cole McLaren would win that, I think, hands down. Just I can't think of another netminder who can have as much of an impact as he does when he comes in.
Yeah, to a point where there was question marks in the playoffs if he was going to start when they got down 0-2 to Quebec. Mm-hmm. But, I was there. Jeremy wasn't there. But so to catch up on some Mooseheads training camp, we caught up with Herdcast member and sophomore stud defenseman Jordan Peckham. This one's kind of fun. This is part of the old rivalry. But this time it's with stud sophomore D-man from the Herdcast, Jordan Peckham. Jordan, how you doing?
Good, boys. How are you?
Good. You're no longer a rookie. It's now your sophomore season. How you feeling?
I got a lot to prove. I want to be a leader this year. Help the young boys. Jeez.
So how you been? How's your summer going?
Good. You know what? I did a lot of fishing this year, I think everybody expected.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been pretty quiet. A little bit of training camp and stuff now, I guess. That's kind of what I've been doing the last couple weeks.
What are you fishing?
Smallmouth bass, so just the lakes. Oh. Do a lot of smallmouth fishing, yeah.
No big mouth?
No big mouth, no. Just the tiny mouth, bud. Does Jeremy have to be in on this? Does he, or can we cut him, or what?
No, it's part of the contract. I have contractual obligations.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
Adam told me it was a two-way contract.
It is a two-way, and he's the only one that's showing up, so he's proven himself to be he's getting a spot.
Yeah, the two-way is the giving and the receiving.
Oh, he's a heart and soul kind of guy.
Oh, exactly.
I see what you're saying.
So, speaking of training camp, we saw your boys here last Friday. Obviously, it went well for you. The big rematch with rosters that really looked nothing alike compared to last season. But
yeah.
You know, in talking to some of your fans, some of your friends and your people, what's the mood going into this season for Halifax?
Well, I think everybody's got the general idea that you're probably going to get a playoff spot and then sell off at Christmas. You know, I think that's the general consensus. If we didn't do that, I think we're pretty much screwed for the next couple of years. You know, we really have no picks or nothing left. And we got some great assets to get some picks. I mean, McIsaac's probably going to be moved. Grew's moved. Lavoie's moved. You know, these are guys that are just, they're worth a lot. They really are. And Moncton's a team that could probably even pick up one of these guys. Like, Jeremy, I know at one point you guys were talking about trying to pick up McIsaac or something like that in the back end. And it really could happen, but it has to happen with somebody.
Yeah, that's a no for me.
Yeah, that's a very high premium to trade in division.
I'm not making that trade, especially in the division. They can go play anywhere else.
Yeah.
Sherbrooke and Chicoutimi will be two teams that I could see making trades.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think what was my prediction? I said Lavo would go to Chicoutimi. Grew would to Rimouski and McIsaac to Sherbrooke. That was my bold predictions.
So what about Gravel? What do you see happening with Gravel?
I was just going to ask, when you say selling off, do you see Cole McLaren getting the run after Christmas? Do you think they keep Gravel just for one more year to kind of mentor McLaren, or is
it
his time? It
depends, because a lot of people see Gravel as, you know, overrated and stuff. And you know what? I'm kind of like one of them people, I to be perfectly honest with you. And I think Cole McLaren is underrated.
Yeah.
I think he's a lot better than what what a lot of people think. And I mean, I think you proved that the other night in Moncton. I didn't really watch the game, but I heard we got absolutely peppered and somehow won that game.
Yeah, 55 or 52 to 21 or something like
that.
Yeah,
see, that's absolutely ridiculous. And I think I heard he played really well.
Oh, yeah, I was very impressed by him.
Yeah, so I think you got to run with that, especially if somebody's willing to, you know, if somebody puts in an offer anything that's an overpayment for Gravel, like 100% just take it and go with it.
See, that's the thing. I don't think Gravel is traded this year. I just don't see a market for him.
Well, that's fair.
I mean, it's very well could happen. But there's, you know, the contending teams kind of are... They've got their goaltending set. Unless there's a team that's, you know, at Christmas time, they're 2 or 3 points away from the division lead, and, you know, they have to make an upgrade in nets. That's a possibility. But
I would maybe venture a guess, Val-d'Or. And we're going to talk about them a little bit later in the show. They could be a team that wants to, I mean, that division is kind of up for grabs. They could be a team that goes and gets that experience, right?
That would be interesting. Well, that's the one thing he has now is experience, right?
Yeah, he took you as far as Alexi Gravel could take you, right?
Yeah, well, it's that was
shout
good.
Out to
well
Chris.
Played. Well played. That was good. That was good. Yeah, and you know what? That's fair. You're right. The market is not huge for it. It's absolutely not. And if we have to keep him, then you know what? You keep him. It's not like he's going to be worth, you know, huge return anyway. Really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't see it. He's a great goalie. And I mean, he's proved that he's good enough to play, but. He's not this huge, high, you know, star name. He's not going to play in the World Juniors. Everybody's like, oh, you know, he's got a chance. I don't think he's that good. I don't. I just don't see it. But I think we got, you know, some great assets to get other great picks. You know, we're going to have one of the best first lines, I think, in the queue with Lavoie, Grew, and Trepanier. All three of those guys are worth a lot. I mean, Trepanier is kind of tough because he's a 20. That makes things a little more tricky, but. I mean, there's a market for all them guys, and I'm really hoping we can get some good picks and a rebuild. So when the Memorial Cup is back in the queue, which will be, I'm assuming you guys are St. John hosting, we could be a contending team again.
Nah, we're good.
You're okay without that?
Yeah, we don't need you to contend again.
No, okay, I don't blame you.
I'll give the next Memorial Cup to either St. John or Gatineau.
Yeah, you don't think you guys will be in the mix?
No, I don't think so.
Not with
no, I heard Kate Breton saying
room.
They wanted to try and be in the mix too.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think Kate Breton, St. John, or Gatineau would be one of those three. Well, the league owes it to St. John, really. So
they really do, and St. John's going to be a force, I think, by that time. Yeah, yeah. So it's
Gatineau
yeah, it's
will have
pretty
a new
fitting.
Arena going for him.
That's true. That didn't work for you guys though. So
no. Well, yeah, we also didn't have the infrastructure done around it. To be honest,
I think if that
hotel would have been done, it might have been a little closer. But I mean, from let's just talk about that whole experience, you know, following you and Johnny there. What was that? Do you remember the Memorial Cup?
No, I don't even. It was just a big flash of Welsers and Bud Lights. Like, that was the whole week.
So can we ask you about Welser? Where did that come from?
Or is that, you know what? Is that a hidden secret? Came from my dad.
Really?
Yeah, and my old man started that whole saying. It's just something he always used to say. And I started saying it, and my girlfriend absolutely hated it. And once Johnny knew that she hated it, he just started running with it on her. And then we just started saying it. Like, that's honestly where it come from. It doesn't even mean anything.
And now it's a hashtag that you're getting off the ground, right?
I guess so. Like, it's weird because we'd be walking around the rink, and you just walk around, and some kid or some random guy look at you and be like, ah, well, sir. Like, it's become a stupid thing, but it's funny. It works.
So, getting back to this literally is not a dig at you, but just how long did it take you to get over the, you guys had talked about with Steve, the emotional toll of getting to a final, and because he had that happen to him. So how long did it take you to kind of get over all of that?
That was tough. I mean, you tell yourself, it's just junior hockey and, but it's, I mean, you guys are in the same boat as us. It's a pretty big part of our lifestyle, really.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeremy, like, I remember being in that skybox with you, bud. You were crushed when we eliminated Moncton. It is. It's tough, right?
It took me a full week. Crushed.
You just put your head down for like 3 minutes and just sat there. I like almost felt bad for you. Like, yeah. It is. It's so, like, when we made the finals, I couldn't believe it in the first place because I'll stand by it. I don't think we were in the top two best teams. It just kind of happened. It came really fast. But when you make it and then you think to yourself, oh my God, you got a chance. And then during the game, we were up 2-0. And then it just, it just went to shit. It fell apart. Absolutely. Yeah. And Ruan Miranda truly was the best team in the CHL, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, I think they deserved everything they got. But it took me probably 2 weeks to decompress. It was tough.
That's not bad. It took me a week to get over round two loss. So it makes sense that it takes you a couple weeks to get over a cup loss. But so getting into, like you said, you've been going to a little bit of training camp now that I think we got two games left. Finally, in the stretch there, going to that game last Friday, a couple guys that I want to pick your brain about. That's sad. Abby Fakal. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. You know what? I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
That you did a better job than I would have.
Well, I have his name here. So that's, I got a sheet here. So just talk about him and maybe Keegan Hunt.
Yeah. You know what? I thought both of these guys, they impressed me. They did. There's a lot of roster room on the team right now, and there's going to be probably even more room depending on what we get back after the trades. But I'm going to try here. Said Abby Fakal.
Yeah.
He really impressed me. Like, I thought he was very handsy and just quite impressive in camp. And he definitely earned his spot on there. Same as Hunt. It's just another guy who just worked hard and just earned his spot. Like you say, there's room. And we got these kids coming in, like Sonny Kabate. It's just another kid. It's not like he's overly great. He just worked hard and earned his way into the team. And I'm sure Cam and the coaching staff told these guys, you come in, like, this is the year that there's room. There's going to be room. You know, some of these guys will probably get sent back, but they could be back up here in a couple few months, I guess.
Yeah.
I truly believe it.
How have you been impressed with the defenseman, Justin Barron? He seems like a good kid.
Yeah.
Cameron, why not? Like, what do you think about why not?
You know what? I think the why not situation was just a blessing. Completely, lucky. I don't really see it as a McKinnon situation, but I could see how people do. I was at when I was at the, I'm trying to think, it was probably the second or third skate for the team or whatever, when camp opened, and I ended up sitting next to Wynot's mother, and I just had a little chat with her, and she was going on about how she didn't really want him to go to school in Sherbrooke because it's different. They only go to grade 11, and they weren't really going to offer him an English schooling experience. They were basically going to give him work packets to do.
Oh, really?
And he's just going to sit and do them. Yeah. And she was just like, any maritime team would have done. It just worked out really well with Halifax. And I think Xavier Perron's extremely happy to be in Sherbrooke. I don't know if you guys know about him and Sam Poulin. Yeah, yeah. They're like best friends, right? So yeah. I think it's going to be great. And Sherbrooke's going to be a contender. He'll be happy there. And I think Wynot's going to be really happy here. And, I'm hoping, of course, like every other Halifax fan, that he's the next Noah Dobson. But we'll have to wait and see. He looks good now. He does.
Well, maybe no Dobson without the booze, I guess.
that'll never get lived down here. That was just amazing. A little over the top, but amazing.
One guy I want to talk about is a Moncton kid named Cole Stewart. Big fan of Cole. He's finally healthy. He's had a couple injury plague seasons. What do you see in him for this year, and who do you see him playing with, and point What's a solid point projection for point projection for him?
Oh, that's tough. You know, I would pick him to have the breakout year for sure. I really would. I think he's, I mean, you know, he's another guy with just experience alone has been through it last year. He wasn't, you know, a regular number, but he's been through it. He's seen it all happen. And I think he's another guy who's underrated. I expect a big year from him. Point projection, that's a brutal question, but I don't know. I'm going to go on a limb here and say 140. Is that good? Does that work?
The MVP of the league over Lafreniere?
140 minus 100?
Yeah, you know what? That's all right, let's call it like 50.
That's a solid number. I would I think he's going to be impressed. Yeah, no, you know what? He's what was he, a second or third round pick of the Mooseheads? So
he was third, yeah.
Yeah. So he's, you know, he has to put up some numbers, if, or, you know, he could be one of those ones that's kind of on the outside looking in, because, you know, he's got catching up to do. He's
absolutely,
you know, he had some solid years. He was the top guy in the, you know, in the Moncton Miners Association coming up through Bantam and Midget. And, and I think you're right. He's going to have a breakout year. I'm not going to personally put him at 50 points here, but, I'll give him a solid 38.
Okay. No, I like it. I like it. So are we making bets on this, or are you guys done with bets now?
No, we're good with bets here. Now we'll do beer bets from now on.
Yeah, we got
that's,
that.
I like that. That's a better one. Because you know what? I think me and Johnny are going to be on the losing end of some bets this year. So
yeah, we got that. That one last jersey bet, and then we're done for a while because we haven't won. We didn't have a successful betting year last year with Chris and Hockey Hat
really
Guy
didn't.
And us and you. When you talk about Cole Stewart, I mean, he's not really a rookie. It's his first year, but the guy I picked to win Rookie of the Year, who didn't even play last year, Samuel Dubé. Out of those two players, who do you see having the better year?
I'm going to say Dubé, only because that line they're tagging is the Red Bull line here in Halifax with him. Who's it? Cena Peters or Peter Cena and the Marcel Barinka. That line looks phenomenal.
John Cena absolutely. Peters.
Yeah, John Cena. Yeah, he plays right wing.
Oh wait, wrong Herdcast guy. The other guy would get that. This guy's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I get it. That's the John Cena theme song.
Oh, okay.
I love the wrestling. I'm right into it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyways, continue.
Yeah. Cena Peters, Marcel Barinka, and Dubé are going to be a solid line. Like, they look unreal. Did they play together the other night when you guys got to see them?
I'm not sure.
I
can't remember, yeah.
So these guys played together before overseas for a Red Bull team or whatever. So they're all very familiar with each other. So I think I'm going to go Dubé has the better year. I really am.
Cool. Well, you know, we don't want to take much of your time, so we'll get one more prediction out of you.
Oh, man. Are you going to ask me about the Maritimes division?
Yeah. So I'm talking to Jake here at his last show there. He went with Cape Breton, Charlottetown, Moncton, Halifax, St. John, and Bathurst. We've kind of made our picks. Jeremy went with Cape Breton. I went with Moncton. Where do you see this thing falling?
Oh, man. All right. So it's definitely, I don't see Charlottetown being in the top two. It's definitely Moncton and Cape Breton as far as I'm concerned. You know what? Don't get me wrong, boys. This absolutely kills me. But I say Moncton takes the division. I will. And I say Cape Breton's real close. It's going to the wire. She's going to the wire.
Yeah, it won't be a landslide division by any means, because top to bottom, it's one of the better goaltending divisions, right? Like, it's going to be tough to score all these teams.
For sure. I mean, Halifax is going to be good, I think, for the first part of the year. We're not going to be a top five team in the league or nothing, but we'll be in the top half of the league. But I still think even Charlottetown probably edges us out. They'd probably be third. St. John is, I mean, they're still really young. So I'll put Halifax ahead of them, and then St. John and probably Bathurst.
Yeah, that's fair. We're all kind of in that same kind of realm, 2-3 points away from a team being second to fourth. So
yeah, it's going to be a good division. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Cool. Well, we won't take too much of your time, and we'll do this more often throughout the year for sure. But are you going to be at the game on Friday?
Yeah, are you guys going to be here?
I think I will be. I don't know if Jeremy will travel for preseason.
There's a game Friday night?
Yeah, in Halifax.
Actually?
Yeah, again, the four.
Yeah, come on down.
Oh, I was
Your race is canceled for Saturday, Adam.
Oh, my God, that's the best news I've heard all day. Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think they announced it yet, but being in part of the tour thing, they moved that. So I'm pretty sure you're going to hear that that's canceled and it's moved to the end of September.
Sweet, the end of September. I won't be going to that because I've got – that's off topic. But, yeah, no, I think we might potentially come down to watch that because I've never seen a game in the Forum.
If the game was Saturday, I would go.
The Forum sucks.
Really?
It's got them big poles like right in the middle. No matter where you sit, you're always staring at a big beam.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks for talking us out of it.
Come on down, boys. Come on down. It'll be fun. Johnny might even go. Johnny doesn't go to any of this preseason stuff. None of it. He hasn't seen anybody yet.
No, I was talking to him a little bit. I was kind of shocked by that. But we'll let you get out of here. I guess we should have asked you off the top. You guys, you and the missus, all good? You guys are safe and nothing really major happened or anything?
Yeah. No. You guys are all good, I assume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had. Oh. I didn't lose power at all, but.
Yeah, same as me, actually. We never lost power here. Johnny went without it for, I don't know, almost 24 hours, I guess. But no, we're all good.
Cool. Well, glad you're all safe. And, we'll have to do this again more during the season, man.
Right on, boys. We'll have you guys on as well so we can pick on you from the other end.
We appreciate it.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
See you, Peckham.
All right, bye.
Yeah, he had a lot of, good insight. He's not wrong. It's going to be a team that's going to contend early on and then sell off. Do you think Gravel gets moved?
I don't think so. Like I said, I don't see there being a market. The only thing I can see it happening is if a team that's close to the division needs an upgraded nets. That's the only way I can see him being traded. He's probably one of the core pieces in Halifax that won't be moved at the Christmas trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean. You touched on it. Cole McLaren was, underrated last year. He's going to have a big year. They have guys that they can move to rebuild for the next couple of years to get better. So I kind of see it the same way. If there's a team that's fighting for a division that wants to make a push and feels that they can, get a few playoff rounds, I think he does get moved. And the team I talked about is in the division preview that we're going to have there. You heard it there was Valdor. So, not only did we catch up with sophomore stud D-man Jordan Peckham, this one was kind of cool. We caught up with Philly Sports Network writer Jamie Barskow. He's been following Mika Seer, Ricky Camp. So this is a pretty cool interview that we caught up with him. All right, so I teased it a little bit earlier. We have an interview with actually, this is going to be pretty cool. You don't always get these interviews. He's the writer for Philly Sports Network. He covers the Philadelphia Flyers and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Jamie Barskow. Jamie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I just want to say thank you for having me on. It's an honor and a privilege to come on for your dedicated fans and the dedicated fans of the Moncton Wildcats. I appreciate all the support that you guys have given me, and I appreciate the support that they've given you. So it's an honor and a privilege to come on, for everybody involved.
Yeah, so getting into some of that support, obviously I found you on Twitter and I retweet a lot of stuff because, Mika Sears down at Flyers rookie camp. So just give us an idea of when this kid got on your radar and what he what impresses you mostly about him.
He came on my radar in February when I was scouting, honestly, Yaku Peltier. And if I pronounce his name incorrectly, I apologize about that, but so I was watching Peltier a lot because for the past five seasons, I've done interviews before the Flyers draft on potential draftees that the Flyers may draft. And Peltier, of course, was on my radar, and I thought that the Flyers, he could definitely be selected by them. And
I wish he would have been
watching a game of Peltier.
I wish he would have been selected by that.
Absolutely.
I didn't want him as a Flame, so I would rather him go to the Flyers. Sorry to cut you off, but keep going.
No, you're all right. I wish he was drafted by us too, because the kid is a natural and he's going to have a very, very successful NHL career. There's no doubt about it. I just, Peltier is, you look at him, he's got all the tools of an NHL player. And I could see him in the NHL by next season for sure. But I'm that high on him. But after watching a game with him in February, Mika Seer potted two goals one game, the game that I was watching Peltier, and I don't have the exact date. It was a two-goal game, and I was like, wow, this kid's a pretty fast player. He's a 200-foot player. was like, this is exactly what the Flyers need. Plus, they need a natural goal scorer. So after doing a little research, you know, on Sear, and then I was granted an interview with Peltier, which is on our website. After doing a little research on Sear, I noticed that he went undrafted in the previous two drafts. And so after doing more, I look at his height, and he's 5'9". And to me, that's the only reason why he wouldn't get drafted. And it's so weird that GMs in today's day NHL, they look at size and height. And they look at the height really supersedes the size. And, yeah, he's 5'9", but the kid is lightning fast. And that's what sticks out at rookie camp. And being there on Saturday and then parts of Sunday, this kid is never out of a play. He's a 200-foot player. He plays with the pace of the game. He pushes the play. And that's exactly what the Flyers need. They need that natural. And it was funny because on Saturday in the press area, I'm up top. And down below, of course, is the ice. And here's Mika, like, near the boards. And somebody, like, I don't know, like, if a stick got twined or, you know, or somebody, like, you know, hit him. But he fell and he did, like, this 180 on his back. On the ice. It was funny. But he gets up and just jumps into play and roofs one top shelf where Mama hides the cookies. I mean, that's exactly what this that's exactly what this player, you know, what the Flyers need.
Yeah, if you could just not and let him get injured, that would be awesome. Like, we really appreciate it if you could if he could come back healthy, but we'll get into your yeah. odds of that.
But I will say that he appreciates you guys too. And he appreciates his fans and Monk. And he said, quote unquote, Saturday after practice, they're the best fans. They supported me a lot through my NHL, throughout my career. I know they will be there for me. I mean, that says a lot for, you know, the fans and, you know, for the people of Moncton. I mean, you're like a family there and you're a family to him. Mm-hmm. And looking in his eyes and like, you could see like when he was talking, like he was getting choked up. You know, this isn't just, you know, this isn't, you know, this really means a lot to him, like the fans, you know, his family. And that's the human side of the athlete that a lot of people don't get to see. But it's an honor and a privilege to not only put on that Wildcats jersey, but to put on the Canadian jersey, too. It is a proud moment for these young players to put on those jerseys. And it really means a lot to them. And at camp, I can tell you this. He does not take anything for granted. This kid has hit lightning fast. And I'm not the only beat writer from the Flyers on the Flyers side that have thought that very highly of Mika Sear. Bill Meltzer, you know, mentioned a comment to me on Saturday. Charlie O'Connor back at developmental camp said to me that he's like, you're really high on Mika Sear. I was like, yeah. He was like, oh, he's pretty darn fast. I was like, yeah, he sure is. And that's the name of the game in the NHL today. Speed matters. The pace of the game has revolutionized itself. If you don't have speed, you're done. And, you know, I just think very highly of Mika. He's got the leadership qualities that the Flyers need. Here's another good quote. He said, I need to work on every aspect of my game. That's how you get better, especially on my play without the puck. I was working on my speed and agility in the offseason. That's leadership material there.
For sure.
I asked him flat out, Do you have any parts of your game that needs improvement? He said, every aspect of my game, quote unquote. You don't get many players like that. Sometimes prospects will say, oh, I need to work, you know, on just, you know, getting faster and stronger. You know, that's a big thing, which is a lot of times true. But he said every aspect of his game. So he's not just focusing, you know, on his speed, on his, you know, getting stronger with his agility and stuff. He's focusing on his shot. He's focusing on being a 200-foot player. And that's what he said in that quote, his play without the puck. That is AV. AV, Alain Vigneault, who is the new coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, that is a huge part of AV's system. He wants all his players, five players make up the team defense. It's not just two playing on the, you know, on the back end there. There's five, three forwards, two defensemen, you know, for Philadelphia now. That's how they've been trying to go for the past few years and stuff. It's a team defense, not just two. And Mika would fit that bill because he's never out of the play. His back checking is insane. Every time you think he's out of play, he just comes out of nowhere and just steals the puck. It's crazy. He's a little mini Danny Briere.
That's basically what my next question was going to I was going to ask you. You've had the chance to watch Mika now in summer development camp and rookie camp. What do you see in Mika that, you know, you bring on that comparison to Danny Briere? What do you see in Mika that you see or that you saw in Danny Briere?
His speed. His speed matches his height. And Mika's 5'9", and I think Danny Briere was around the same, anywhere from 5'7 to 5'9", right there. But his speed, Danny Briere was so fast. He was never out of the play either, and he was Mr. Clutch. And that's what Mika does. He pops some really nice goals. You want a roof shot? That kid has a nasty wrist shot. I've seen it live in rookie camp. It's not just rookie camp, in games for Moncton. So, but Danny Briere was very good at playing a 200-foot game as well. And, you know, everyone's counted. This is why I think Mika's going to succeed at some point in the NHL, whether it's with the Flyers or not. I think it'll be with the Flyers because there's some graduating prospects that the Flyers have within their system. But everyone counted Danny Briere out because of his size too. And look what happened. He turned into being one of the best Buffalo Sabres in the organization's history. He turned out to be one of the best Flyers, you know, in history, who's still scouting in at rookie camp himself with Chuck Fletcher. So he still has a hand in these players. And I think Danny Briere is like on to Mika too, because I can see it. And I think Danny sees himself in Mika, how fast he is. He's a bolt of lightning. And then his wrist shots, like John LeClair. John LeClair had one of the best wrist shots, I think, in Flyers history. LeClair coming up the ice, just coming up on the sideboards and stuff. And that's what Mika does well too. He just doesn't go to the center of the ice. He could go up the boards and come out from nowhere and just freaking roof one. And, you know, that's what Danny Briere and John LeClair did so well. But I'd say he's more or less a Danny Briere because of his size and his speed. John LeClair wasn't, you know, one of the fastest, but he was speedy too. But that dude's shot was nasty. And Mika provides that too. He could provide some goals. I mean, each year for Moncton, for the past three seasons, his point totals have gone up. And when you're playing behind some really good players in the organization and some of the organization's best players ever to play for the Wildcats, look at McKenna, you got Peltier. Those are two of your best players that possibly have ever played for this organization. I'm not saying they are, but, you know, possibly. They're definitely up there for sure.
Yeah, they're in the conversation.
When you're playing behind those players, yeah, you definitely have to make the most of your ice time that you're given. And he did that. Sear did that. And he had a career year, potted 67 points this past year in 66 games. You know, his point total, that's what I look for. I look for improvement, a vast improvement. I mean, the year prior, what do you have, 21 points or something like that?
Yeah.
And then he potted out of nowhere, he just comes and has 67 points. I think he got comfortable, and sometimes every prospect is different. This is what some people don't realize or fail to realize anyway. Every prospect is different. You can't expect each prospect to grow at the same rate. They're all different. Look at Sean Couturier for the Flyers. Look how long it's taken him to find his offensive game, and now he's found it and has done very good, you know, very well with it. You know, if you look at Mika Sears, yeah, it took him 3 years. Well, it took him two seasons. Finally, his third season, his junior season, you know, with Moncton. Look where he's at now. He could possibly have a career year with over 100 points this year for the Wildcats.
Well, that would be nice. We'd really appreciate that. But, yeah, his last season was one of his first full seasons healthy, and I think that made a big difference. And like you said, McKinnon and Peltier, they played on basically an unstoppable line for the first 3 months of the season. But so everyone here is always – you know, as you get to the 20-year-olds, they're worried about the AHL contract, the ELC contract. Are we getting these guys back? Obviously, I've joked with you a couple times on Twitter. You can have them. We just need them this year, and then you can have them. So if you were to, you know, put a percentage or a number on it, what are the odds that Mika's going to be at Flyers main camp coming up here in, I think, 2 weeks or something like that?
Oh, 99.9%.
Yeah,
99.9%. 99.9%. He's there Friday when training camp opens on September 13th.
And then
without a doubt, no question. I think you know, just his speed alone, I think, you know, just garners him an extra look. And Wednesday is the Wednesday, September 11th. This Wednesday is a big day. Not only because they had the morning skate from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., but they have a rookie game being played at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the PPL Center against the New York Islanders. That is a game that people want to see because he's on the line with Gallaudet, and I forget the Zurduk. That's his line. He's playing with Zurduk and Gallaudet, and that's who Mika's playing with on Wednesday anyway. So look for Mika Wednesday. That is a big game. If he could pot, you know, maybe a goal or have an assist, or even, you know, sometimes you don't even need to do that to stand out. Just play sound defense because that's what he does too. He, like I said, and like you guys know, and women for that matter, he's never out of the play. His play without the puck is just as important as his play with the puck.
Right.
If he stands out that way and, you know, is a little flashy, watch out. But I think it's 99.9% certain he's already earned a camp invite.
What's the
usually that's how the Flyers roll. Who's usually invited for rookie camp? 9 times out of 10 is invited for main camp too. And with Ben McCartney being out with a hip flexor, that opens up a spot possibly for Mika too. The Flyers' contractual limit stands at 45 right now, and I could expect a Wiley, a righty or a lefty, you know, from Everett to garner an ELC, so that'd be 46. And if Mika can garner an ELC, that'd be 47. And they lose 3 players at the end of the year, so that brings it down to 44. So the Flyers are still within the contractual limit. But the big key is that the Flyers have some graduating prospects, one of Ratcliffe, Frost, Farabee, Nicholas Abe-Kubel, or German Rupsoff will make the club this fall. So they have to replace that player in Lehigh. And who better to do that than a guy who could play 200 feet?
So what in looking at the Lehigh's depth system, like where would, let's say Mika does make the AHL, whereabouts would he fit into their lineup?
I think to start, I think he'd possibly be on the third or fourth line, because I think you know, like when you're talking about grade A prospects, they do have some grade A prospects, and you know, a Morgan Frost or Joel Farabee both won't make the club. So you got to figure they'll definitely be top six down, you know, for Lehigh. I could see him in the bottom nine is where I would fit him, you know, at this particular time. I probably see him on the third line with maybe Kashi, David Kashi. Oh man, David Kashi. Yeah, I got to throw him in there too. He might be graduating as well, but yeah, I could see him being possibly playing with David Kashi. I think that'd be great. You know, them two out there, both size, they sort of had the same size, but they're flashy, you know, and they both play sort of the same game. So, yeah, I definitely see him at this particular time, a bottom nine. Next season, though, if his AHL season went well with the Phantoms, let's just assume he does earn an ELC, and let's assume he does go to the Phantoms as opposed to the Wildcats, as opposed to going back to the Wildcats. I just think a bottom nine at this particular time, you know, suits him, but I think he could be a top six next year. That's how confident I am in Sear. There aren't many prospects I could honestly say, like, I'm confident in, but I'm very confident in this kid. And it's because, like, not only just scouting him and watching him, fortunately, because of Peltier, I say that because I don't necessarily know if it was for Peltier, if I would have, I was so busy at that time. I don't know if I would have actually seen some Wildcats games, to be honest. And it has nothing to do with the organization. You know, it's just there's so much with, like, you know, so many European players, so many, you know, Canadian players now. It's just like the game is growing at a fast pace, so it's so hard to keep up with all the different prospects. But so I'm very fortunate and blessed, you know, that I was looking at Peltier because I stood – you know, upon a guy in gold, you know, who I think is gold and sincere. I really like sitting interviewing this kid. You can see the emotion in his face. Like, he takes nothing for granted. And some prospects, you know, they'll talk to you and, you know, and we could joke and laugh and smile, but like, this kid, he's very like determined. You see the emotion, and you don't always find that. It's very raw, and that's a good aspect to have. Like when he was, explaining that quote to me about, the fans, of Monson, you could just see him like tearing up. You know, he was choking up, not tearing up. Sorry, that's the incorrect word. He was choking up. Like it really meant a lot to him, and you don't always, I don't always find that in prospects. And that's why I'm very high on this kid. I think I've stumbled upon some gold. And thankfully for you guys, for bringing me to that attention as well. Like, I mean, Sear is something special. Yeah, he's something special.
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate to watch him here the past few years. And he was drafted into the queue, 2 Moncton. He's developed here in Moncton, so it doesn't happen very often here. But not to take the attention away from Mika, but. I want to ask you about a player that has a connection to Moncton, not necessarily the Wildcats, but to the city of Moncton. That's Phil Myers. Where do you see him, fitting into the Wildcats? Not the Wildcats lineup. I wish he was in the Wildcats lineup.
Top two.
Yeah. But where do you see him fitting into the Flyers lineup this season?
See, I'm freaking ecstatic you brought him up. So I'll answer the question because I got some other information too. And I forgot to mention, I can't believe I did, but Phil Myers is definitely in the best shape of his career I've ever seen him. This is the fastest and strongest I've ever seen this young man, and AV had nothing but good to say after him at the Worlds. I think by January, February, he earns a top pairing role with Ivan Provorov. I think AV stated about a month and a half ago, he wants to pair defensemen with lefties and righties. And, of course, Phil Myers is a righty, and I think he'd be paired with Ivan Provorov, no doubt, no question. This kid has a blazing shot. Not only that, but, like, his board battling is insane. It is so hard to get around him. He's a juggernaut out there at rookie camp. He definitely outclassed, the majority of the players out there. You got Radcliffe, Farabee, and Frost on the top line. He shut them down on Saturday. It was amazing. Just took the puck from him. It was nasty. He's just darn right nasty. How he went undrafted, I have no idea. And that's where I was getting at, is that Mika Sear follows in suit with the great Tim Kerr, who played in the Flyers organization, who was an undrafted free agent that the Flyers signed. Felipe Myers himself was an undrafted free agent in 2015 that Hextall signed, that Hextall found. And now Mika Sear can be an undrafted free agent as well. The Flyers have a history of scouting these undrafted free agents, and they've done it very well. And I think they've struck gold in Sear, because I could tell you, if they do not offer Sear an ELC, I'll tell you this, the Coyotes are going to be kicking their cans in the curb here, because I think he's coming to the Flyers. But in any sense, if he say just hypothetically, I'll see with the Flyers, Sear will definitely earn a contract in the NHL at some point, for sure, with an NHL team, no doubt.
Well, like I've said a few times on Twitter, you can have him. You just can't have him until next year, because we really need him for a deep, long playoff run. But, Jamie, I really thank you for doing this. So where can our fans follow you? Where can they find your articles and just your write-ups on these Flyers preseason games?
You can find me on Twitter. My handle is at Jamie Basco. That's Jamie as in J-A-M as in Mary, E-Y-B-A-S-K-O-W, or phillysportsnetwork.com. All my articles are over there, on our site, fortunately. I will say to the fans of Moncton, I will do justice with a Mika Sear article this week. It should be out on Thursday, is my goal of when I should have it published. That was based off the interview that I just had with him on Saturday. And, yeah, just look for me, because this kid is special, and I'm not the only one. The Flyers' top brass is very high on Sear, and he was brought here for a reason. He made rookie camp for a reason. He's going to make training camp for a reason. It's because they believe in this kid. And with Danny Briere being next, standing right next to Chuck Fletcher up there in the press, over the not in our press area, but there's another top brass area up top. Danny Briere is there watching, and I guarantee he sees, and if I see Danny, I will ask him anyway. On Friday. Friday I'll be there. But I'm going to try to go tomorrow too. So if I see Danny Breer, I'll talk to him and I'll ask him about Sierra and like what his thoughts are on him. There's no doubt in my mind that Danny Breer would have some nice things to say about him for sure.
That's awesome. Well, like I said, we thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule during camp. We know how camp schedules can be. So again, man, just, you're a great follow. All our fans should follow you if they're looking for Sierra updates. So we really appreciate this.
Oh yeah. Like I said, it's an honor. And I can't thank you all enough. You guys do great work and I look forward to hearing more of your shows. And trust me, you have a fan of the Wildcats now, man. For sure. I'm not going to let this happen again. Who will be the next Mikasir?
Perfect. All right. Thanks. You have a good night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jamie.
So, I mean, I won't lie. That was one of the cooler interviews that we do. I mean, you can talk to guys around here in Moncton or, you know, the Herdcast or Hockey Hat guy about our players, but to actually see it from someone who doesn't get to see him all the time, that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I have to agree. Thanks a lot, Jamie, for coming on. You need to work on your pronunciation of these you know French names here. But I
understand that coming from Alberta. Yeah, it took a while. I'm getting better, but yeah.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here. But next time we have in the show, we expect a much better performance.
It's the theme of our episode so far. It's the preseason. Everybody's That's working right. towards right. something. If we bring you on in the regular season, you know, we expect you to be in regular season form, but. Like I've said to you a couple times on Twitter, and I said during the interview there, you can have Mikasir. We just need him this year. Then he's all yours.
Yep. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to have Mika back for his last season here. I think he's got, you know, if he can stay healthy like he did last year, and, you know, that he's going to be one of the top players in the league. I forget where he finished in terms of scoring leaders last season, but, you know, a giant step forward. I can easily see him maybe being a top five scorer in the league. You know, so really, really, you know, fingers crossed that he's back in the queue and doing some damage here for the Wildcats.
He was fourth on the Wildcats with 67 points. And then in terms of where he finished for the year, he would have been down a little bit. 28th.
That's not bad. So yeah, you can take a giant step forward. Easily get
into the top 15.
Yeah, but I would love to see him at least top 10.
Yeah,
that would be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, benefits not only you know him going into his final year, but the team and whoever his line mate is. That you know if he can put up those kind of points and play with Denoyer for most of the year, I mean. You know, he's just going to take another leap. So, all right, well, that'll end our kind of training camp talk for the year. We got one more episode with two more games left. But let's get to our final division preview. It's the Central Division. It was not pretty last year. Rouyn-Noranda finished with 119 points. Valdor with 57. Blainville with 54. Gatineau with 52. I ask you, you said last week, kind of to my surprise, Rouyn-Noranda was going to be a mid-pack team. Is this a three-team race?
It'll be a Rouyn-Noranda is going to get off to a pretty good start.
Yeah,
and then they're going to do a lot like Halifax will do. In my opinion, I think they'll sell off their
opinion.
My expert opinion yeah. exactly. They'll sell off their assets like. You know, Justin Bergeron, Alexi Arsenault. I'm trying to think of these off the top of my head, but I really can't. But anyways, those are a few names, possibly Zach Imal as well. They'll get off to a good start, but they'll probably tail off after Christmas.
Right.
Who wins the division? I'm going to say Valdor. Okay. I'll say Valdor won the division. I shouldn't say, I'll stick with Valdor.
Okay.
I'll probably regret it when I finish recording this episode. But I'll stick with Valdor. They got a young team. A couple years ago they had five 16-year-olds on their roster. So, all those 5 16-year-olds are now going to be in their 18-year-old season. So mm-hmm. you expect them to all take a step forward. And they did last year. You know, considering how bad of a year they had last year, they had a 16-year-old defenseman on a 16-year-old defenseman named Jeremy Biakpatuka, one of the good names in the league.
Yeah.
Somehow managed to finish the year as a plus compared to the rest of his teammates who were, in the minus. And that's something for a 16-year-old defenseman that will not go unnoticed. And you know what? I'm not exactly sure. They'll probably get upset in the first round.
Which we'll get to in just a minute.
Yeah. But we'll see. It's Ruin Aranda is still a young team. Gatineau's got something like 4 16-year-olds. I don't exactly know, but they're young.
Yeah.
Blainville could surprise. It all depends. But this is in terms of.
That's my division winner.
Blainville? Yeah.
I've talked about it consistently, even last year to this year. They've got the best goaltender in the division. Mm-hmm. He'll last the whole year with them, although I guess Zachary Emo, but I think he's also got the better team. Like, I like Samson a lot. Blainville added former Wildcat Capinelli. They got Luke Henman. I'm not sure their back end. I mean, William Sear coming from Drummondville, I think. Didn't Sear come from Drummondville?
Sear came from Rouen.
Rouen. Yeah, so him and Bull Duke are going to anchor the back end there. So I think they're going to be the team that wins the division. But I honestly think it'll be a pick 'em coming down to the last weekend with Valdor, especially if Valdor adds a goaltender, which, like I said with the interview with Jordan, it could be Alexei Gravel because they're there. How does Rend approach the Dobson situation? Because if he's going to be an Islander, you can't really trade him for... I mean, you can trade his rights, I guess, but he's probably not coming back. So how does a team address a situation like that? Do you have a guess?
Is
it kind of a trading your rights thing?
I just don't see him coming back.
No, I don't either.
So I can't see a situation where he actually gets traded. I mean, they'll hold on to his rights. You know, a team, I think we saw it, not last year. Anyways.
Is it kind of like the Shane Bower situation where a team trades for his rights?
Yeah,
that's actually who
I was thinking of. Yeah, it very well could happen. Just some team gives him a first rounder and says, he's ours now. And, if he comes back, we'll work something out kind of deal. But in terms of coming back to the queue, I can't see it. What's he got left to prove? But that would be something else if he came back and won 3 Memorial Cups.
He'd instantly be the greatest defenseman to ever play in CHL. He's up there with Niedermeyer right now.
By far. You think Blainville wins the division. They've got some players as well they could trade off. Luke Henman would be, if you're looking for someone that's going to play kind of like a third line on a contender, Luke Henman would be a perfect candidate.
But would they trade off acquiring, a veteran like Capinelli and Sear? And, it kind of looks like they're in the mode to quickly rebuild after going all in 2 years ago.
I think those were just futures for deals.
Oh, okay.
So that was already, negotiated. But, who knows? They could that division is just a toss-up, right?
Yeah,
I think any team, with the exception of Gatineau, put all those three teams in a hat and pull it out, and that's your winner. This is kind of the. I don't think there's a team that I can tell you that's going to win it. That's why I kind of hesitated when I said Valdor because
there's no real buyer or sellers that you can see making a run.
I can make an argument for every team.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm sitting at right now.
I don't want to be mean, but. Without Randa loading up like they did last year, on paper, is this the worst division? league.
Yeah, for sure. There's, it's really the only division where there's not a team that's going to stand out and possibly be a contender.
Right.
Like in the Maritimes division, you got Moncton, you got Cape Breton, then you got Rimouski in the other division, you got Sherbrooke in the other division, Chicoutimi. Like, there's no team in this division that's going to stand out and be a contender.
Mm-hmm.
It is the worst division in the league.
That, is the Memorial Cup presiding champion, but that was last year. So we did it with the Eastern Division, or the Eastern Conference, I guess. We went playoff matchups. So I guess now which will lead into next week's episode, let's break down our Western Conference playoff matchups. I'll go first. I got Sherbrooke finishing first. Blainville winning the other division, so those are your top two. Valdor finishing third. Victo fourth. Ren five. Shawinigan six. Gatineau seven. Drummondville eight. So my first round is Sherbrooke versus Drummondville. Blainville versus Gatineau, Valdor versus Shawinigan, and Victo versus Rouyn-Noranda.
All right. So my Sherbrooke Drummondville, I'll stick with that as well. That'll be mine. The second seed will be Valdor going up against the seventh seed Gatineau. The third seed Victo going up against the sixth seed Rouyn-Noranda. And then we'll have the 4 and 5 matchup of Blainville against Shawinigan.
So we differ a little bit, but, I think we both have an idea who's coming out of this conference that we'll keep for next week.
Drummondville!
Maybe. So that'll do it for this episode. Again, just quickly updating the Brent DeBoerne jersey auction. It's the final week. It's at $410. If you want to bid on it, visit our Facebook page, Moncton Wildcast, and comment your bid. If it's a little out of your price range, go to GoFundMe.com, search Brent DeBoerne, and help any way you can there. Again, thank you to Jordan Peckham of the Herdcast and Jamie Barskow of Philly Sports Network. Don't forget, the Wildcats play their final preseason game in Buctouche this Sunday versus the Islanders at 4 p.m.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.